Good morning.
Good morning, Don.
Hi, Rich. How are you, Richard?
Hey, I'm fine, Don. Thanks.
Good. Good. How's business this week?
I'm not really doing anything that much right now, Don.
Because of what's not going on in the marketplace, other things in your...
Well, nothing in my personal life, but there's no issues there. But, I'm not running any ads in the paper because my advertising stopped working, a year or two ago. So I just stopped doing that because it's just a waste of time for the most part. You put me on a spot, Don. I really, I suck right now, and that's about all there is to it. I don't know. I don't have a plan. I'm not down because I've been in the business 25 years. I'm not leaving. But, I trust real estate champions, and I sent in my income goals yesterday, faxed them over.
Okay.
I hope you got them.
I've got them. I don't have them right in front of me, but hang on.
Minimum, the anticipated, and the maximum.
Right.
And I should be able to hit those. I don't see why I can't, except probably for the fact that I'm not doing any money-making activity. I probably should be calling FSBOs and expires with a plan of action. And, that's my assessment of where I'm at and why I'm not doing anything right now. It's hard to get my act together. I don't know what it is. I have every course in the universe, and obviously I'm the prime candidate for the term analysis paralysis.
The old analysis of paralysis, or the paralysis,
yeah, right.
Paralysis of analysis.
Yes, I've heard
it many constantly.
Funny thing is, all I need is, if I had one closing a month, I would basically tread water.
Mm-hmm.
Two closings a month, I'd be more than I ever made. And I know, being in the business so long, Don, I feel like, I just want to slap myself silly. My son asked me yesterday, Dad, I saw this thing on TV, you can buy houses for a dollar. You can buy, houses for $500. How come you're not making any money in real estate? That was not a nice conversation, but,
I can only imagine.
$70,000, $100,000, $300,000. Yeah, those shouldn't even be a problem. God,
what's the most money you ever made?
The most money in 1 year, Don, 60.
60?
Yeah. And that was, I've never called FSBOs or expired, never had a plan with that, never really subtly contacted my sphere of influence. That was only through one classified ad, about 1 inch by 1 inch, per week. It was just a direct response ad. It was from the Terry Hunterfeld Gold Rush real estate system. And it just got me anywhere from 5 to 50 calls a week just with that one ad. And that was, 2001, 2002. So I just had to filter through. I mean, they were not the highest quality leads. Most of them couldn't qualify. But after sifting through all of them, it was like 40 hours a week. It wasn't back-breaking work, but 40 hours a week, and I made $60,000. I mean, it was higher than the
average.
What
year was that?
That was right in the, we started the company 99, 2000, 2001, 2002, right in those 3 or 4 years. I started a company with my brother. He just got out of college for real estate. So we got him his license, and we started the company together, and we each made about that much. He made that much his first year in real estate, which was pretty good. But then those ads just stopped working.
Okay, 100. What'd you make last year, Richard?
Nothing.
Zero, nothing?
Right.
Okay. What'd your wife do?
She's a graphic designer. She's been out of work. She didn't have to work during those, you know, times when I was making a decent amount of money, but she had to go back to work 2 years ago, so she's been working steady 2 years now, $50,000 a year.
How much?
$50,000 a year, graphic designer.
Hmm.
You know, she buys the groceries, some odds and ends here and there. I pay for everything else, but I'm running out of money. Just so you don't think this is a, you know, I'm sitting on my ass watching, you know, reruns on TV. That's not the case. I don't do that. Every day I've been just trying to rebuild and make a super company. You know, I changed the name. I turned it into an LLC. I've created a logo for it. I've created a brochure. Try to create the infrastructure, bought the for sale signs, put the sign on the house, went to the Secretary of State, you know, registered all over the place, and all kinds of things. And I've researched all those things to death before I've done them. So I have a rock solid sort of an infrastructure, you know, listing presentation, a buyer presentation, a pre-listing package.
How long ago did you start American Charter?
Well, I really started it in 97 when I went out on my own. It was called the Bias Real Estate. But then I changed the name to American Charter about 2 years ago, something like that. And I've got, first I changed it to First Acre. And I have actually federal trademark on that name. It got approved, so it's registered. And American Charter, I can get that registered as well. No one else is using it. I have all the .coms for it, every variation of American Charter Real Estate. So I have a powerful infrastructure, but to answer your question about 2 years ago, I just haven't been able to either get off my ass or formulate a plan to actually get people calling on a steady basis.
And you have this in your house?
Yeah.
Or do you have it in an office?
Well, it's both, okay? I bought a three-family, real nice area. There are some businesses, a lot of businesses and houses. It's a historic district. It's a main road, and I've got it approved with the town to have a real estate office. It's a three-family. I kicked out all the tenants. And the whole second floor is my office. There's a sign in the front yard. So, you know, it's a legitimate, bona fide real estate office. It's just in the same building as my residence.
Okay. Let me just see if Linda's on here yet. Linda?
Gee, wow. It's either going to be me or Linda. We're almost like one-on-one now, Don.
Well, that's okay. We can use this time wisely.
I appreciate you sticking with us, Don. You know, obviously, you probably get the impression that we weren't the most highly motivated group of four individuals. But you know, I'm trying my hardest, and I don't know what the hell. I need somebody to hit me in the head with something. No, it's got to work. I mean, I'm not going away, so this is going to work. Or I'm
okay.
Going to leave the country. You should have heard the conversation Linda and I had. We talked on the phone last week, just her and I, and I just you know, half jokingly, I said, you know, Linda, I'm planning on leaving the country. I'm going to go to, you know, the south of France. I'm going to give up everything here. She says, oh, okay, well, let me know when you go because I'm coming. We actually discussed that for 10 minutes.
Well, it's nice to have options.
Yeah, right. I know. But I can't. Seriously, I got a wife and two kids, you know.
Right. I do understand. Let's talk a little bit about what you have to make.
Okay.
What you wrote down here, again, I'm looking at, you know, your minimum acceptable is $10,000 more than you've ever made.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Your average anticipated is $40,000 more than you've ever made. And your maximum is five times what you've ever made.
Mm-hmm. My reasoning being, one, I did not want to be one of those people who underestimate their capabilities and put a sort of an artificial ceiling, if you would put it that way, on myself. Two, when I made the $60,000, I was almost like coasting, you know, just putting one ad in the paper, never calling any FSBOs. You know, I mean, since that time, I've got FSBO systems, including Dirks. I've got expired listing systems, including Dirks. I've got a sphere of influence now that I actually have in a database that I'm sending a newsletter to. And I actually have my own company, and I feel I'm more focused. So I don't think those numbers are unrealistic.
Yeah, I probably would disagree with you. Here's why I would disagree. When you look at these numbers, when you look at what you want to accomplish, remember some of the things that I shared with you last time was, you know, the bare minimum, a minimum acceptable is realistically, when I look at my life, my lifestyle, what is it going to take for me to be here in December 31st, 2009, as I'm moving into 2010, what do I need to have at least minimum accomplished?
Okay.
So when I look at that, what's my income right now? What are my expenses to live? What are my real estate expenses, including, you know, if you plan on continuing in coaching of some degree or another, what is it going to take me? And so that number might be closer to $20,000 or $30,000. Do you see what I'm saying?
A year, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, look, how much have you made so far this year?
Nothing.
How much did you make last year? Nothing.
Right.
You're still in real estate.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, that minimum acceptable, my understanding was to at least live, and like you said, to be here a year from now. That's what I have to make because of the credit card debt that I've incurred and the refinancing debt that I incurred to live for the last 2 years. So that's to pay all my bills.
Okay.
However, I am meeting with a debt relief specialist tomorrow, so we'll see about those credit card bills, but what have you, assuming they cannot be eliminated, and I don't want to file for bankruptcy.
Even if you're on a debt reduction plan going from zero to $70,000 is probably unrealistic. I'm going to say, look, oftentimes people want to solve your long-term problems instantly. Okay? When I look at 2 years of no production, we got to do something different, right?
Correct.
Can't just keep on going in the same direction, doing the same things, expecting a different result. It ain't going to happen.
Insanity, as per Albert Einstein.
Right. So bottom line is, we got to make some changes. But the first change is when you start to look at, as we go into this business planning thing that we're talking about, is I normally have you guys go back 3 years and look at your production, okay, on a month-by-month basis. How did money flow into your business? If you got 2 years of no income,
There were no more. I wasn't even marketing.
Right. Well, it's not really about.
Go ahead. If I just get one closing a month, that's $60,000 a year.
Right.
So when I put $70,000 down, I was, you know, one closing a month and 1 month with two closings would give me the $70,000. So I'm
not saying the numbers are bad. What I'm saying is, the reason why I have people go back 3 years and show me how the money flowed into their business is because you need to support your belief system. Your belief system says, oh, I've done this before, I can do this again. But farther away from when the last time you did it, the harder it is to really support that belief system. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So maybe realistically, when you look at your income goal, maybe I'm realistically looking more at, you know, $50,000 minimum acceptable, and my target is $70,000-$75,000. My main, which is my average and average anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
300 is completely out of the norm because you have no basis in reality for 300. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying here, because I'm the last guy who would tell you can't do something.
I'd rather have my coach bring me down from lofty goals than have to be forced to bring me up from not high enough goals.
Right. Well, that's what I'm doing.
When I made the 60,000, my previous high was only like 22,000.
Okay.
So I am capable of a jump like that.
Richard, everybody is capable. Here's the challenge. The challenge is, why do you need to do it? What makes it become a must?
I have
when you're looking at, huh?
I'll lose my house. The whole family situation would collapse.
Okay. As you may have noticed in the paper and on the news, a lot of people lose their houses.
Right.
Still not a strong enough why, unless you make it a strong why. You see what I'm saying? When you look at your minimum acceptable and you say, okay, look, what would I have to do? I mean, if I'm going to get serious, I'm going to get myself in gear, I'm going to make some money, you know, I may not be able to pay everything off like I'd like to. Let me give you a quick example. I had a guy come to me one time a couple years back, and, you know, he just got back from a RE/MAX convention, and he was all jazzed, juiced up after, you know, listening to all the rah-rah and stuff, and I understand that. I've been to hundreds of seminars over the course of my lifetime. We call it kind of, you know, the helium in the balloon syndrome. The helium, you know, you're rise, and then pretty soon, you know, day three, day four, day five, you know, the balloon starts losing that helium and it starts to drift downward again. But this guy came to me, he said, he never made over $50,000, and he was going to make $250,000 that year. Now, keep in mind, he's at a RE/MAX convention, a national RE/MAX convention in Florida, and this is already February 25th or something right in that neighborhood, which, frankly, my first quarter for every agent is February 28th, is the end of the first quarter. In other words, whatever you've done up to that point, that's all you can do for the first quarter. He was just getting ready to start. He wanted to do $250,000. Never done over $50,000. I said, well, Why do you want to make $250,000? Want my wife to quit her job? Great. Does your wife want to quit her job? Well, you know, I never asked her.
Uh-huh.
Well, what does your wife do? She's a doctor. How much money does she make? About $250,000.
Oh my God! Yeah. So she went to school for 12 years to quit her job.
Yeah, so the bottom line here, there's not, first of all, it wasn't a strong enough why, and it wasn't a supported why. His wife had no desire to quit her job, and while he was caught up in the emotion of and the hype of this convention, there was no basis for reality at all for him to go to that level. The thing is that, you know, look, I'm a very, very positive guy. I've been studying self-improvement for 30 years. I understand a lot of it, and the last thing I would do is try to steal someone's dream.
Okay.
But in order to have a dream, you have to have, I have to have a why. In other words, when the why is strong, the how becomes easy. If you had a son or a daughter who was in need of an operation, you didn't have insurance, and you know, God forbid, and you had to make $200,000 to be able to afford this operation. No way around it. This is absolute have to. You, Richard, could make $200,000. Remember, that why is really, really strong. Right now, your why is not strong enough. Because in some ways, you know, you've already figured out how to make it through the last 2 years without making any money. And you've been spending money, too. Correct?
Right. Nothing exorbitant, but just...
No, I know, but even coaching and stuff like that is expensive, right?
Right.
Okay, I'm not taking anything away from that. I'm just saying, okay, in order for us to establish some realistic goals, we got to know why we want to be there. Now, if you said to me, look, you know, I've never made over $60,000, but... You know, really, based on where I'm at, the fact that I haven't made any money for the last couple of years, I really, really need to aim for $75,000. Okay, that would be my middle goal. That would be my average anticipated. That's what I'd be looking to accomplish.
Okay.
And I might be at $40,000 or $50,000 for my minimum acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we already know that based on your average sale price, or at least we think we know, based on your average sale price, that you're probably somewhere in that $5,000 per deal.
Right.
Average, okay?
Right.
We have to work backwards when we look at that. But look backwards meaning... if I have a $40,000 or $50,000 goal, what am I going to have to do? If I've got a $75,000 goal, that's where the triple track comes into play. And if I have, let's just say, $110,000 goal is my maximum attainable. Those are realistic goals that you can get your head around. They're not so far out there. Again, I'm not saying you couldn't do $300,000, but you don't have a big enough why right now.
Well, how do you know?
Because you've already told me what your why is.
For the minimum acceptable.
Okay. Tell me then.
Right?
Tell me what making $300,000 would do for you.
Unless my understanding was wrong, my understanding was the minimum acceptable was what you need to tread water. And my why to tread water was to pay my bills and stay in this house, which is what we've been discussing. I didn't tell you my whys for making the anticipated or my why for making the maximum attainable.
Okay.
That's
go ahead.
A whole ball game.
Tell me your why for average anticipated.
Average anticipated?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be able to become debt-free. I'd be able to set up a college fund for my son.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be able to maximize my wife's and I retirement accounts.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be able to give my family, start to give them some experiences that they should be having at this time, which is going on some vacations, Europe, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be able to explore. Broach these things. I wouldn't be able to fully explore all these things until I made the maximum. But this is with the middle goal. I'd be able to start exploring the possibilities of writing more music, which I really have a passion for music.
Mm-hmm.
Be able to start exploring performing, taking the vocal lessons that I've really wanted to take for the last 30 years. And learning how to play guitar better. Okay, I'd be able to explore the possibility of. I've always wanted to try to do some sort of stand-up comedy. Well, I probably don't seem too funny to you during our conversations, but I think I might have sort of a sense of humor.
Okay.
I'd be able to start working out. There's so many things I'd be able to. I mean, I have them all listed, Don. I could have faxed them over to you if you'd like, but I have so many passions.
But
I would.
Yeah, you can fax them over after. Okay. So that's for average anticipated.
Right. I'd be able to start looking into all those different avenues that I've never really been able to look into. That, you know, when I was young, my father was a 9-to-5er, and, you know, he quit high school at 16. They had 13 kids in the family, and he had to work full-time from quitting high school at 16, and he had to every week give the check to his mother. And his mother would give him a little spending money every week. But that was he was the oldest son, so that was to support everybody in the family. And he worked full-time in a factory, making almost a little over minimum, whatever it was, till he was 65. But when I was young, I know him and my mother had dreams for me. And, you know, and when my other siblings were born, you know, when I was really young, like kindergarten, first grade, before that, you know, I sleep in the same bed as my father, and he'd tell me stories every night, King Arthur, Hercules, really myths that would really inspire me for greatness. And it's in me, and I know my father's in me, and I want to do great things, and I'm already 52, 53. My father and mother have, you know, since left a long time ago, but...
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're still looking down on me, and I still feel compelled and impelled to greatness. And I want to show them that the hopes and the dreams they had for me, even, you know, from the time before I was born to when I was growing up, that they're still active, and I still have a prime directive to prove to my parents that I can do something and I can achieve greatness, and I will. And those things and my son, you know, I feel the same passion when I think about my son's looking at me, and that comment yesterday really drove home. Dad, how come you're not making any money in real estate? You know, after watching one of those late night seminars.
Right.
You know, so all those things and deep emotions and passions are tied in. And I know I could achieve 100% of exactly what I'm looking for if I made the maximum income. And I know I could start to achieve those things if I made the middle level of income. The minimum income is just to tread water and pay these stupid bills off. There's
okay.
That's the only why for the minimum. But, of course, another why for the minimum is so that I can, you know, step back and breathe again so that I can start focusing on getting better systems to increase my income to the middle and the maximum.
Okay. So in 3 minutes or less, tell me why 300,000.
Everything I just said, for one,
mm-hmm.
and I will explore those things fully, Don, I'd be able to have the second home and possibly the third home. And I really would, because I can manage money well when I do get it. Basically, just an expansion on what I told you for the minimum level, be achieving the minimum, what I just told you on steroids, because I'd really have some discretionary income to work with.
Okay. Let me ask you some questions then. I get it. I think I get it. What you're looking at. You know, did you have these dreams and goals 5 years ago?
Yes.
Did you have them 3 years ago?
Yes.
Did you have them 1 year ago?
Yep.
So the dreams and goals have always been around. I mean, for quite a while, right?
Yes.
And the results?
20 years, 30 years. Yeah.
And the result?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Straight answers, honest answer.
Yeah, they've always been around, right?
And the outcome?
They have not been achieved.
Okay. So, you know, there's a big difference between a goal and a wish. You know what it is?
Commitment, action.
Commitment, action, a plan, specific plan. Based on what you've told me so far about yourself and what you've been doing, you know, you're good at research. You're good at pulling the pieces together to create a business, the infrastructure for that business. But when it comes to actually doing the work, you have a tendency to move to the passive means of productivity, as far as passive means of marketing, of prospecting, versus a direct approach of being face to face with people. If you think you're funny and you like to be you like to do stand up comedy, what do you think your first, you know, I mean, the bare minimum for you to do is to get in front of people on a regular basis. I mean, if you ever really want that opportunity, whether or not it's right for you, I have no idea. I'm not trying to take anything away from you either here. I'm just saying, okay, look, if I was going to realize a dream like that, I would have to know. You know, I'd have to be able to start putting myself in a position of meeting more and more people. So when it comes right down to it, you know, advertising, this is a worse market to try and expand my business through passive marketing. It really is.
I follow you.
Huh?
Yeah, I follow you completely. Go ahead, yeah.
Okay. So how do I get face-to-face, whether it's picking up the phone and trying to create appointments to walk through for sale by owners or expired? You know, it's talking to people on a regular basis, is shaking hands, kissing babies. You know, it's the same thing as McCain and Obama have been doing for the last 22 months. You know, they're working their fear, they're working, you know, they've got a much bigger territory than you do. You know, your territory is somewhere, you know, 5 to 7 mile radius of your business. You know, so, you know, how do I make those connections? How do I stay in front of people? You know, how am I going to get one sale per month? What's it going to take me just to hit the minimum? I got to have listings, got to have quality listings, got to have some buyers. You know, this is just to get to that first level. Part of what I'm saying to you, Richard, is when you look at the minimum acceptable.
Okay.
What if all you did is hit the minimum acceptable? But the minimum acceptable was $50,000.
Okay.
Yeah. What if you hit that? Do you think you would be supporting your belief system in a tough market like we've had for the last 3 years? Do you think you would truly believe in yourself and have more confidence to go to a next level in 2010? Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Right now, your commitment is to be in real estate. You're not going away. Your stick-to-itiveness is great. Your reality is that you've got to do something different. 2009 has to be completely different than 2008.
Agreed.
Otherwise, you're going to repeat the same outcome.
Agreed.
So you're going to be asking this question again, maybe from a trailer park, maybe...
Right.
Maybe from a park bench. I don't know, but this is in your park. You have to do something different. You have to recognize that a passive way in which you've tried to approach this, being on the calls is great. You're listening, but, you can't go away with just a good feeling. See what I mean? This is activity-based business. If I'm not taking action, I'm not going to see results. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. So what do I have to do? And when you think about it, the nice thing, it may not feel nice to you. But the nice thing is that I can knock on doors all day long. I can pick up the phone. I can call past clients, sphere of influence. I can call neighbors. I can expireds for sale by owners. I don't have anything else to do because I'm not making any money. So the bottom line is I could literally spend anywhere from 6 to 8 hours trying to drum up business. Now, I have to be careful because my intuition says you're easily distracted by urgent things. When we talk about time management, we talk about, I can't think of the name of it right now, tyranny of the urgent. Tyranny of the urgent says, I'm sitting down, I'm getting ready to do my prospecting calls, and all of a sudden I think about a website I heard on the way into work that could change the way I do everything. So the next minute I'm on the internet, and 3 hours later I'm going, well, that really wasn't that great, or yeah, maybe I should check this out, maybe I should go online, maybe I should go to one of their webinars or their teleseminars or whatever it is. Now you've completely shifted gears and you're over in this passive lane again.
Exactly, Don. Exactly.
Distracted. You allow yourself to be distracted. That's why this real estate gig is a business of discipline. You have to do the daily disciplines in this business. As much time as I shared in the very beginning with you guys, I share with clients who have been with me for 4, 5, 6, 7 years. You got to go back to tracking. Look, you fell off the wagon. Go back to tracking. Know exactly how many people you called every day. If in this market, if in the marketplace of 2005 said I need to make 5 contacts, well, by the time we get to 2006, 2007, and 2008, we're probably needing to make 10 or 15 contacts just to keep up with the numbers. So that means I gotta have a face-to-face or phone-to-phone conversation with the idea that I'm trying to set an appointment. Face-to-face, phone-to-phone, in other words, I'm knocking doors or I'm making calls, and I want to actually talk to 15 people about real estate every day. I will guarantee you that if you do that, that's your target, and you prepare each day to have those, 30 people that you have to call in order to get 15 conversations per day, you will see you will see your attitude change, your confidence level change, your outcome will change, your income will change. But you can't do it if you get distracted and go off on a tangent in another way. You pick up a magazine, or you get a flyer from can't even think of the guy's name. That do just passive marketing. Craig Proctor.
Oh, Craig Proctor. Yeah.
You've seen some of his stuff?
I heard that his business model is sort of retarded, or it's been called that, because you're grossing over $1 million and you're netting about less than $100,000 after all expenses are paid.
Right. Right, which I would say is a pretty retarded model also. But what attracts people is the passiveness of it. You can
right.
spend your way to, you can spend your way to $100,000.
Right.
The bottom line is that we're in a business that is relational in nature. It means I got to get in front of more people. I got to do what's necessary to get in front of more people. You see what I mean?
Well, Don, that's very well said, what you just said for the last 3, 4, 5 minutes. It's very well taken, because it just made a lot of sense. But the goal, call 30 people to speak with 15 per day and have 15 conversations with the goal of getting them into an appointment. First of all, that's very clear. There's nothing ambiguous about that. Secondly, it seems very attainable. And you gave the cautions out about being distracted, which you actually mm-hmm. hit the nail on the head with me, because every example you gave, I've been there, done that. For
right.
being distracted. But I like the way you laid that all out. That's something I can hold in my mind that's not really sophisticated or complicated. 30 attempts to contact people, ending up in 15 conversations, give or take, more or less, ending up in 15 conversations, attempting to get them into the office for an appointment.
Right.
Clear.
Very, very, very clear. If you'll do that. Now, if you'll track it, here's what will happen if you track it. You sit down and your target is to make 30 dials. Track the number of dials that you make every day. Track the number of people that you actually contact. You can do it right on that daily activity sheet, or where you track, did I go on a listing appointment? You know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
You can track that, and so at the end of the day, you can go, hey, you know what? I made my 30 attempts. I made 14 contacts. My goal was 15. Tomorrow I'll probably do 16. I'll do 32 dials and hope to get 16. But every day, at the end of the day, you'll be able to field questions from your son. Dad, how come you're not making any money? You'll go to bed with a clear conscience that the activity that you're doing is a foregone conclusion, and that is that you will generate business. But the consistency is the key. The consistency is absolute key. It means I got to track what I'm doing. I need to send it to my coach every day. I'll look at it. You start making some money. Spending money on coaching doesn't look like a bad idea. If you're spending money on coaching and you're not doing anything different, it hurts. It's painful. You want to stop the bleeding. But again, if you're doing what you need to do, and we laid it out nice and simple. That's the basics. From there, you develop the skill on what to do and say when you're talking to these people, how to drive people towards that conversation that makes that you're interested in real estate. Great. What have you done about it? Where are you right now? Are you working with anybody? Being able to field some of those questions, ask some strong questions, and then bring them into a relationship with you. The more that you do that, the better you'll get at it. The more you get at it, the more success you will have. The more success you have, the more money you're going to have. The more success you have, the more confident you'll have, and the easier it will be to have additional success from there. You've got dreams. You've got desires. You've got goals in your head. When it comes to setting goals, you suck at it. You do. I mean, you can set the goals, but you don't have the action behind it.
Right.
You don't have the strong enough why. You don't have the consistency to see the results. Now, you can spend money. You can go to Tony Robbins, and I worked with Tony for a few years. I think I already shared that with you at one point. Did I?
I think you mentioned it. I have his course, Tone, by the way.
Like, yeah.
30 CDs or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've been through his master university. I've been all over the country with the guy. And I believe in so much of what he teaches, but I also know that you know, you got to have the plan. At some point, you know, it's kind of like, you know, let me relate this to you on a spiritual level. On a spiritual level, maybe, do you understand the term mountaintop experience at all?
I'm envisioning what it might mean.
Yeah. Well, obviously, it's an optimum experience. It's you know, from a spiritual side, it's like, okay, this is pleasant, this is safe, this is you know, it's everything, it's everything that you could wish for.
Okay.
The reality is that when I'm experiencing this mountaintop experience, it's all about me. You know, it's all about, you know, you can go to the mountain and you can live your life in euphoria, but that's not life. It's taking the principles that you got from that mountaintop experience and applying them on a day-to-day battlefield of life. And so when we look at, you know, and that's very much how I would say, you know, going, I mean, I've spent 15 days with Tony in Hawaii and the great, great atmosphere and, you know, some of the most powerful speakers in the world, you know, on stage, and, you know, a mountaintop experience. Awesome, amazing, incredible. Bottom line is that you always have to come down from the mountain. What are you going to do with the experience? Now it means, okay, I have to implement. You know, I can't talk about it. I've got to do it. I can't, you know, I want to be able to say to my son, yeah, see, we turned it around. You too can do whatever you want to be. You too can be whatever you want to be. You can go wherever you want to go. You want to actually believe those words. Now, on one level, you do, but on a subconscious level, you're incapable of achieving it because the action isn't there. To create the belief system that says, you know what, Richard, you really can do. In other words, you want to believe it, but let's face it, the production over the last several years, it doesn't line up with what you think you want to do.
No, there's a big gap inside me, you know, between what I want and what I've accomplished.
Let me ask you a very personal question. How do you think your wife looks at you? Honestly. Don't tell me what you think I want to hear. Tell me what you think.
Oh, I will absolutely be honest with you. I think she looks at me as very intelligent, very lofty goals, physically attractive to a degree, very nice sense of humor. But, you know, and I could go on and on with the positives, but the other side of the coin, I know she looks at me as at times lazy, slow moving. The opposite of action oriented. I mean, she's always commenting on, you know, on my multi-thousand amount book collection.
Mm-hmm.
And saying that, you know, if you implemented ideas in one of those books, don't you think, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So she does, she knows that I have not done the things necessary in our, say, 25-year, almost 30-year relationship to, you know, to really be where we really should be or where we could be. She looks at me as very high potential inside. I've been told that by other people as well.
Mm-hmm.
Rashid, you have so much potential. Why don't you do something with it? And that's basically how she looks at me in a nutshell. Tons of potential, but too lazy or unwilling or what have you, for whatever reason, never developed it.
Okay. Do you think you're lazy?
I don't term it as lazy, Don. I term
what
it
would
as...
You, how do you, how would you term it?
A different priority. To me, lazy would be doing sitting on the couch, watching reruns, eating all day long, sitting around, doing nothing. What I do is I fill my mind every day. I'm either taking in more information or analyzing information I have to a fault, really. And that's been my downfall, is that I spend my energy gathering more information and analyzing all this existing information rather than taking this information and putting it into use. I don't call that lazy. Some people, depending on how you term it, some people could call it lazy. Some people would say, hey, you're not out there physically moving, you're lazy. What have you?
Okay, well, I probably wouldn't classify it as lazy. What I would classify it as, though, is that you are idealistic. You've convinced yourself that education is the answer, and yet wisdom is the wise use of knowledge. Wisdom is the wise use of knowledge. And for somebody of 52 years old, 53 years old, it's time to implement your wisdom. I mean, you need to implement the knowledge, put it to work, and make something happen. You don't need more education. I mean, I applaud anybody who continually educates themselves or tries to educate themselves. You know, I mean, I have a very extensive library. I'm always buying books. You know, I read most everything I buy unless I disagree with it as I get into it. You know, so I'm always looking at those kinds of things. But implementation is the key. When your wife looks at you, and after having been where you've been for the last few years, you know, you couldn't blame her for coming to the conclusion that, you know, as a realtor, you're not very successful.
Exactly.
That's got to hurt.
Well, that's I see myself.
Okay. Well, and that hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it does.
Okay, now we're getting to the why. Now we're getting to the why. You know what? You know, your why in 2009 needs to be the fact that you want your wife and your kids to be proud of your accomplishments. You want to leave them a legacy. You don't want to leave them with more questions and less answers. You with me?
I'm on the same page, Don, following you along very carefully.
You want to make, you want to show, hey, look, I got into coaching because I wanted to learn, okay? I didn't just learn, I implemented. You know, I took what I learned and I applied it to my life and my business. And You know, it's not about paying off all your debt in 1 year. Look, it took you a while to get where you are. It may take you a while to get out. That's not the most important thing. Most of these people will work with you to some degree. You know, you can get interest rates reduced. You know, you can, I encourage you not to go any deeper unless in that process. You've got a game plan to get out. But, you know, when you look at it, you know, look, the most important thing right here is not paying off all your debts in 1 year. It really isn't. Because, you know, it's kind of like when I was, and I get a lot of people who say to me, you know, look, I did $100,000 last year, I want to do $200,000 this year. You know, I did $200,000, I want to do $400,000. They're numbers that are just plucked from the air. You know, some people have more charisma, some people have a better, sphere of influence. You know, some people have spouses who are connected to, you know, huge teaching hospitals or whatever, you know, where they're always moving people in and out, and so they get a lot of big dollar stuff coming in. You know, it isn't about that. It's about you building a business. You don't have any of those things. You don't have a wife that, you know, works with $1 million a year producers in a field that where they need, you know, to have additional houses or second houses in this area. You don't have that. So what do you have to do? You have to start from scratch. You got to make the connections. And your whole goal is, one, to be here next year, and two, to make your family proud of you.
Exactly.
You want your family to be proud. They will be proud if you begin to have success again, like you have had in the past. They will be proud of you. What you can do from there. In other words, when I'm working with someone, let's just say, you know, somebody comes to me and they're making $150,000. Maybe their rise was relatively quick over, you know, but I can look at how they rose. You know, I'll look at that and I'll say, you know what, you know, if you made $185,000 this year because you made $150,000 last year, you know, when you start to look at those kinds of increases, 20% increase, 25%, 30% increases, you begin to compound that. If I could do 20% every year, where would I be at the end of 5 years? First of all, I would have shown myself that I could do it. I would have proven to myself, my belief system would no longer, there would be no more second guessing. Right now, you put down $300,000, your subconscious is going, what, are you nuts? You can't do $300,000. This is not me saying this, understand? Again, I'd never take away somebody's dream. I'm just saying, you know, you got to line up where there's believability in what you want, what you're trying to accomplish. And if there is no believability, you're not going there. Comprende?
Comprende. Oh yeah.
Okay. I did want to get into some business planning with you. I don't know where Linda. I don't know why she didn't show up, but between here and the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you to do exactly what I asked you to do, and that is make 15 contacts a day. 15 contacts is very aggressive. When you look at what you got going on, it's very doable.
Okay.
That means you're going to make at least 30 dials. So between now and the end of the day for you, you know, figure out who you're going to call. Have that list ready. Close your office door, put your phone on Do Not Disturb, and sit down and crank through them. Takes you 3 hours or 4 hours. You know, at the end of the day, whatever's happened, don't get attached to the results, because day one you may have nothing. Day five you still may not have anything. This, my friend, works. It has. It's been working for the last 20 years, and it will continue to work as long as you don't get distracted and go, as long as you stay unattached to the outcome, the results. In other words, I'm going to keep doing this. My coach told me it would work. You know, at the end of 2 weeks, I'll know exactly how many contacts I've made, exactly how many appointments I've got out of that, and we'll just keep building on that. Okay?
That, Don. I mean, since coaching started, I've wanted some specific instructions, action-oriented type of activities, and you've just given them to me. So I have nothing to complain about. I only have myself to look at this point. And I'm thinking I've got about 300 people in my sphere of influence. That includes past clients, relatives, neighbors, acquaintances. I've got them all in a database. So I'm going to utilize that database for this for these 15 contacts a day. I'm also going to, and this is what I'm thinking now. I'm running it by you. I'm also, and I've been contemplating this for a while, based on, among other things, Dirk Zeller's How to Explode Your Production or whatever it is with expired listings. I forgot the marketing term that he uses. But
we have a TMD webinar tomorrow.
We have
a Tough Market Domination webinar that's an hour and 15 minutes.
Oh, you do? Maybe I should be on that then, huh?
No charge. Call Tammy right after you get off the phone with me.
I'll just summarize it. Is it a sales pitch for the Tough Market Domination CD set?
It is not just a sales pitch, but there will be a sales pitch for it.
Okay, because I have that.
Okay, well, then it would be ideal for you to be there because you're just going to take parts of it and focus on where we are today.
Oh, excellent. I will be on that then.
Okay, call Tammy right now and get registered because it's tomorrow at 10:30 Pacific.
Okay, good. 10, 11, 12. Good, be like 1:30 here. Yeah, I will do that.
Okay.
I'm thinking my sphere of influence, and I'm also thinking to sign up for Red X and start getting expireds and possibly FSBOs on a daily basis and start to implement those systems, Don? No, yes, as well as my sphere of influence?
I think you could do one at a time, either for sale by owner or expires. Don't try to get good at both.
Right. Yeah, I'll probably pick expireds.
Okay.
I've been thinking about that for a long time.
Okay, and then go back through the TMD, the CDs that talk about the expired program, okay?
Oh, I got a question too, Don, very quick. So in the expires and on also I think in the TMD program, Dirk refers to a document or set of documents, I think it's all on one page, that we show prospective sellers at the appointment. Something about an overall what's going on with the market, how many
market trends?
Yes. Where do I
market trends?
Yeah, where that's
market trends is in your book. We've already gone through it once, but
did?
I think. Yeah.
Maybe I missed one.
Go through each section of your book, each session. Market trends page will be in the back of, I don't know which section right now. I don't have it in front of me.
Okay.
But go through the first 10 sessions page by page, and you'll see a market trends in there somewhere.
Excellent.
If not, go ahead and ask Tammy when you call her. Ask her. She'll send you a market trends report.
Okay. Dirk talks of the power of having that filled out and showing it to people, so I want to fill out that.
Okay. Ask Tammy for that.
Okay, Don.
And I will talk to you in 2 weeks. If you need anything else, shoot me an email, okay?
All right, Don.
All right. God bless.
See you.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.